Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me. And you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The X-Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow that Mustang down. Mustang Sally, now baby. Guess you better slow.
And welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, and we're coming to you from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to give us a call, toll-free worldwide, 1-800-610-7035. That is worldwide toll-free. Email xzone at xzoneradiotv.com. On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv at hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. John Major Jenkins is my guest, and he is a pioneer of the modern 2012 movement. The author of 9 previous books on the subject, he has worked to clarify misconceptions and is credited with showing how a rare galactic alignment underlies the 2012 cycle-ending date and is a concept deeply embedded within Maya traditions. A visiting scholar, Jenkins has taught classes at the Institute of Maya Studies in Miami, the Eslan Institute, the Naropa University, and many venues both nationally and abroad. He is co-founder of the Maya Conservancy and the director of the Center for 2012 Studies. A couple of websites, the2012story.com and alignment2012.com. And John Major Jenkins, welcome to the X-Zone.
Hi, Rob. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
It's great having you with us, John. Now, the 2012 controversy spans the entire spectrum from skeptic to believer. And there are many people, John, who are comparing the 2012 scenario to Y2K. Now, first of all, before we get into the 2012 discussion, tell us about your background.
My interest in the Maya goes back some 25 years to when I decided to take a trip south of the border. Mm-hmm. I was a young man at that time, and I planned my trip, and I was traveling on a shoestring through Mexico and Central America, and I really wanted to visit some of those Maya temples that I'd been reading about. And I also knew that the Maya people were still alive and well in remote villages in the highlands of Guatemala. And I wanted to get to those places and find out what they were doing. And so that was my initiation or introduction to the Maya culture. And that first trip that I took when I was 22 years old was really life-changing for me, and I basically fell in love with the Maya people and Maya culture. And ever since then, I've been devoted in one way or another to working with the Maya. I did service projects in the late 80s, early 90s, delivering relief supplies and to Maya communities in the highlands there. And as a writer and a person interested in the deeper aspects of the tradition, I did my own research. I am an independent researcher. I didn't go through the university system. What I found in my deepening investigation is that there were certain unresolved questions that even the scholars weren't really pursuing or looking at or having anything really to say about. And one of those was the 2012 date. And that's what I started researching, and I started writing articles, and I found something very interesting about what the Maya thought about this 2012 date, and that's where my books come in, and that's been my path ever since.
All right, we're going to be talking about your books. We're going to be talking about the 2012 story and much more this hour. John Major Jenkins is our special guest this hour, X-Zone Nation. Here's a couple of websites. www.the2012story.com. That's the2012story.com. And alignment2012.com. John Major Jenkins is our guest this hour in the X-Zone. Once again, if you'd like to send us an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. Hey, X-Zone Nation, the media pool that Sam Morez is in charge of here at Relmar is up and running. If you'd like to get a copy of the November issue of the media pool EPUB, send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. I'll make sure that Sam and his crew get you a copy as soon as we can. My name is Rob McConnell. This is the X-Zone. John Major Jenkins is our special guest. We'll both be back on the other side of this 2-minute break. Don't go away. Welcome back, everyone. John Major Jenkins is our special guest this hour, and we're talking about 2012. What is the 2012 date all about? Is it the end of the world, as, like I said, those people at one end of the spectrum are actually prophesying, John, or is there...
Well, yeah, that is one end of the spectrum, yeah. Really. The whole doomsday concept attaching to 2012 is really just a huge misconception. I've been studying the Maya tradition, and there's no evidence at all that the Maya were predicting some kind of cataclysmic, apocalyptic doomsday in 2012. I think that our own tradition comes from a linear time idea, and so what's going on here with the 2012 date is that our own sort of paranoid fears in our own cultural tradition are being projected onto this 2012 date of the Maya. And so you get these apocalyptic, cataclysmic, doomsday ideas projected on this date in the Maya calendar. Now, it's important to state that it is a true artifact of the Maya calendar. This 2012 date is not the invention of modern writers or something like that. It is a true artifact, as I say, of the Maya calendar tradition. But what I found, and it's pretty obvious for anybody that knows anything about the Maya conception of time, time is cyclic, and cycle endings are about transformation and renewal, and that's really the quick answer to that question.
What do the Maya think about the present misconception that, according to their calendar, the world is going to end?
Well, I've done a lot of work with the modern Maya, and, you know, they sort of, you know, predictably, they just see it as yet another misconception of their tradition from the more or less colonial powers that be. There's a lot of misconceptions about the Maya culture and the Maya people, and so they really think that it's all very silly. But if you look into the tradition of the classic Maya, the ancient Maya themselves, the people who invented this calendar that gives us the 2012 date, what do they believe about it? What do they say about it? Why did they pick this date? That's been really the focus of my research. And it really goes on two fronts. You do have these spiritual teachings, which involve transformation and renewal. How do human beings successfully facilitate spiritual transformation and renewal? And there are really interesting spiritual teachings that one can find in the creation mythology of the Maya that speak to that. On the second front, what I found is that there's more of a scientific astronomy that's embedded into this long count calendar that gives us the 2012 date. And that's been really the subject of my research in terms of identifying this rare galactic alignment that is happening in the modern times, in the years approaching 2012. And I've been most interested in showing how this alignment is embedded into the Maya traditions, like the ball game and the creation myth and so on.
Let me ask you this. We're talking about the Mayan civilization hundreds of years ago. They didn't have modern telescopes. They didn't have the instrumentation that we have today. How in the name of heaven, John, were they able to be so exact, so precise with their astronomical findings?
Well, they weren't superhumanly precise. They were looking at the shifting of the stars, and they had a very strong sky watcher tradition, and they weren't using telescopes. But like the Greek astronomers some 2,000 years ago, who could observe the heavens and track the slow changes of the rise positions of stars, they didn't have telescopes either. So the Maya, like the ancient Greeks, were simply very astute and brilliant naked-eye sky watchers. They were observing the sky and tracking rise positions, and they developed their cosmology around that, similar to what the Greeks did. And what I've been able to identify and point out, that they were tracking this very slow shifting of the heavens, and they realized that in the future, two things would be coming together, and that would be the position of the sun on the solstice aligning with the bright band of the Milky Way. It's very straightforward. Basically, in 2012, the sun on the solstice is lining up with the Milky Way. And that's what the ancient Maya were looking forward to, and it is an astronomical fact. They did not attach any kind of doomsday notion to it. In fact, in their creation mythology, which is where you can find the sort of the ideology, how they thought about this, the beliefs that they attached to this astronomical alignment, you find that they thought about it as a rebirth, transformation, and renewal.
You know, whatever happened to the Maya? It seems that they just disappeared off the face of the earth at one time.
Well, no, they didn't disappear off the face of the earth. The classic Maya civilization destabilized and fell apart, basically. It's like what most civilizations do in time. Seems like there's a kind of a life cycle to civilizations. And usually at the terminal point of a civilization, it goes through a corruption phase. And things like greed and, you know, territorialism take over. And that's what happened with the Maya elite. You know, the rulers became corrupt, and greed happened, and all the little princes wanted their piece of the pie, and so the whole thing just sort of caved in from within. So in the 9th century AD, the Maya civilization did collapse, but the Maya people themselves didn't simply disappear in some kind of science fiction, you know, exodus on spaceships or something like that. Actually, there's more than 6 million pureblood Maya in Highland Guatemala today, speaking many different languages, and still following the 260-day calendar. There was a movement into the highlands of Guatemala in the 13th century AD, and you have the Quiché Maya kingdom today that is still here with us.
What do you think about all these different ideas that are being put out there today that the Mayans have an extraterrestrial connection, John?
Well, that would be ideas that have currency in the marketplace. And especially with 2012, and I do track this in my book, I put a special focus on trying to clarify and sweep up the debris around this topic in the marketplace. It's really no surprise. I mean, Hollywood has its way with these kinds of things, and the movie last year was appalling and despicable in its assertion of this basically incorrect notion that, you know, it's just assumed that everybody thinks that the Maya predicted the end of the world in 2012. Not true.
No.
So you have the situation going on, and then you have a whole, you know, legion of exploitative writers who want to jump onto this 2012 topic.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And often what you see happening is, you know, there could be good-intentioned people that are sort of interested in the Maya, but they don't do their homework, but they might invent a creative spiritual system or a model or something like that to help people grow spiritually or something, but it still has very little to do with the authentic Maya tradition. And it's really no surprise. I mean, this kind of thing is something that people will jump on and try to exploit.
You know, here we have the Westerners who seem to be enthralled with the notion of doomsday, the world coming to an end, the Book of Revelation, the return of Planet X, Nibiru, the galactic alignment and its possible effect on the universe. Do the Maya look at it that way, or they just say, hey, it's just going to be another day, the beginning of a new cycle?
Well, it's certainly not just another day. I mean, the date itself in the calendar, December 21st of 2012, was intended to target or point to this rare alignment in the great cycle of the precession of the equinoxes. So there's a really impressive and profound understanding of the great cycles in the sky that the Maya had. I mean, at the very least, we in the Western world who sort of suffer from a superiority complex might sit back and just take stock of how advanced the ancient Maya really were, instead of just continuing with stereotypes and cliches as to them being barbarians or something. And another thing with this is that, you know, our world is going through a crisis, and for one reason or another, we are at sort of a crossroads or a crisis point in the trajectory of our own Western civilization. And we do sort of need to embrace the possibility of transformation and renewal. So the spiritual teachings in the Maya creation myth can certainly speak to that, and they are, as you would say, universal teachings for that would be applicable for human beings at any time.
Was there any connection between the Mayan religions and the present-day Christian philosophies that are out there, John?
Now, I wouldn't say the present-day Christian philosophies, because a lot of the present-day Christian religion is, you know, presented as a sort of a literalized dogmatic system in which the Bible needs to be believed in literally. The Maya, like Oriental cultures and Oriental religions, really saw things as being like a symbol does not denote some literal truth. A symbol connotes a larger spectrum of information that one can engage with in a open-minded way in order to have a deeper understanding of spiritual principles and so on. So I think largely I would say no to that. Mm-hmm. That in many ways the ancient Maya understanding of time and human spirituality is the exact opposite of what you have in the modern exoteric literalized form of Christianity.
John, stand by. You and I have to take our news break at the bottom of the hour. Great having you with us. And ExoNation, if you'd like more information on John Major Jenkins, this is where you go, www.the2012story.12, and that's the, and then 2012story.com, and www.alignment2012.com. Once again, that's www.the2012story.com and www.alignment2012.com. John Major Jenkins and I will be back on the other side of this news break as the X-Zone continues from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. 1-800-610-7035 worldwide toll free. Email xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. Send me your thoughts. What do you think, X-Zone Nation, is going to happen on December the 21st, 2012? Send an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. We'll be back after this news break. Don't go away.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Splenda, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the X-Zone.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Rob McConnell.
Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro For You, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
John Major Jenkins is our special guest this hour, ExoNation. Here's a couple of websites, www.the2012story.com and www.alignment2012.com. John, what is the importance of the site called, I believe it's pronounced Zappa?
Zappa is really an important site for understanding 2012 and how the Maya thought about 2012. When I was pursuing my research in the early 90s, mm-hmm. I was curious about this 2012 date, and I didn't find much in the academic literature about it in terms of what the Maya thought about it. And I asked the question, where was this long count calendar invented? And the answer to that can be found in the academic literature. It seems to have arisen in this early Maya context in southern Mexico and in a pre classic period context, which would be about 2,000 years ago, and Izapa is the premier site that was really doing things in that spot at that time. So I looked at the site of Izapa, and to my surprise, I found that there was lots of amazing carved monuments that were depicting episodes in the Hero Twin creation myth. And there were orientations of the groups and the ball court there for the solstice. And so there was a lot of astronomy going on there. And there's a lot of imagery that could be interpreted. And I just found it to be a treasure trove of information about how the people who created this 2012 system we're thinking about that 2012 date. And it is really one of the most important sources for understanding what the creators of the 2012 calendar were thinking.
What is the creation myth of the Maya?
Yeah, well, that's a big one, but generally it has to do with the Hero Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hero Twins are trying to resurrect or help their father, who had been killed by the Dark Lords. They're trying to resurrect their father. And so when you understand the astronomy behind these deities, for example, the father of the Hero Twins represents the sun on the solstice, the December solstice sun.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that the creation myth is a metaphor for the astronomical convergence and alignment that happens in 2012. And so you have this full package, you know, this really neat sort of interwoven way that the Maya saw this astronomical alignment happening in 2012, but then they also embedded this alignment into the metaphors of their creation mythology. And it's in the creation mythology that you find the spiritual teachings. And that's, you know, spiritual teachings for human beings that want to try to have a transformation and renewal in their spiritual lives. And so that's the amazing thing about this whole Maya information, is that it does really speak to us today in terms of what we as human beings are experiencing in the world. And the creation myth and the long count calendar seem to both have their origin in this Izapa location in southern Mexico.
There's also another site that apparently is very significant when we're talking about 2012, John, and that, I believe, once again, the pronunciation is Tortuguero?
Tortuguero, yes. This is the new kid on the block, so to speak. Again, I've been doing this research for about 20 years now, and Izapa was the source for me because we didn't really have a lot of information to go on. Now, in the last 4 years, scholars have identified this amazing hieroglyphic inscription from this site of Tortuguero. It's a classic period site. It was thriving in the 7th century AD, and there was a king there named Lord Jaguar who wrote an inscription, and it has the 2012 date in it. And this is the key, because it really helps us understand what these people were thinking about the 2012 date. So when we look at this inscription from Tortuguero, we find a lot of confirming information that, strangely enough, confirms what I'd been saying about the 2012 date based on my research at Izapa. Basically, it has to do with this astronomical alignment. They were utilizing that in the kingly statements. And it also has to do with an ideology or teaching of renewal, renewing the cycle, renewing the world, or what you might call cosmogenesis. Cosmogenesis is an interesting term. It basically means the renewal of the world, and it was a term that I used in my early book on this, Maya Cosmogenesis 2012, which goes back to 1998 now.
What spiritual teachings, John, did the Maya associate with cycle endings, like the one that we're going to be witnessing in 2012? I mean, besides the rebirth or the cosmogenesis.
Yeah. Well, see, now we can drill more deeply into this, and if we had more time, we could really get into the metaphysics of spiritual transformation.
We'll have to have you back on then.
Sure, yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, we can talk about transformation and renewal,
mm-hmm.
and we can all sort of understand and feel like that needs to happen in the world today, or for us, you know, personally. You know, maybe we're at that point in our spiritual path that we want to sort of experience a renewal and a transformation. What that means for the Maya is that you get reconnected back to your higher self, your divine self. There's this dynamic in the teachings
mm-hmm.
that goes between the ego, the selfish ego that just wants more, 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 mine. You know, it's like ego, it's greed, it's that thing that leads to the downfall of civilizations, and it also leads to spiritual suffering. You know, we accept a kind of a limited lot. and our egos just want to grasp for more, more, more. Well, it's clinging to illusion, really. And the spiritual teaching has to do with how to sacrifice those illusions so that we can open up in our spiritual lives to a higher perspective, you know, an awareness of the big picture. And this is something that I think our world needs to take to heart. We need to make decisions in our civilization, on the institutions of our civilization and our governments, that have in mind this bigger picture, the good of the whole, not just self-serving egoism as we see ruling our corporate structure and our corporations in the world today. So the teachings, basically in a nutshell, it has to do with learning how to sacrifice the illusions that keep one from transforming and awakening or renewing into an awareness of the higher connections of things.
It would almost seem, John, that we have to get back to basics instead of I, the person, get back to we, the people. Tell us about your recent book, the 2012 story, The Myths, Fallacies, and Truths Behind the Most Intriguing Date in History.
Well, this is really this I had a great opportunity, and I felt like the time was right to write this book. You know, as you mentioned, I have 9 previous books on this subject. It's been my life path and my passion to be delving more deeply into the Maya tradition and to be answering these unresolved questions in my research. The 2012 story was written, I launched into it about 2 years ago, and it was ready to come out. It was one of those things where there was just so much that needed to be said about 2012, and a lot of misconceptions needed to be addressed, but there was also new information that was coming out, like the Tortuguero inscription. So the time was right, and I wrote the book, and it came out about a year ago. It's out in paperback now, so people can either get the hardback copy if they'd like, or the paperback.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Available in all the main bookstores, and it's being translated into other languages. And this book, really, I think of as one-stop shopping, because I address all the different facets of the 2012 topic. You know, I address a lot of the theories that are out there, the sunspot thing, and a lot of the models that creative writers have invented over the years. And I sort of try to contextualize for readers, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff, you know, and identify and bring back to the central focus, sort of like I'm sort of imploring people to recognize that we have to keep focused on trying to understand this from the Maya perspective, because after all, it is a date that comes to us from the Maya tradition. So you can have all kinds of creative things that people do with 2012, and it might be neat and cool or something, but we really need to honor and respect the Maya tradition, because the Maya people are still with us today. And if, you know, we want to understand 2012 in this perspective, you know, then that information is out there.
While doing the research for your books, John, was there any one discovery that you made that was like an epiphany for you when it came to the Maya?
Well, that would have to go back to 1994, when I finally got the way that this astronomy works. And at that very same moment, I got how the astronomy was utilized by the Maya with this alignment in 2012. I realized that the astronomical features involved in this galactic alignment were embedded into the core institutions of the Maya. The ball game, the creation myth, king-making rites. I'd been studying this for several years, and with that as the key, I then spent 4 years going more deeply into the traditions and finding all the evidence and documentation for this connection. And that's what's so different about my work, you know. This alignment thing is an astronomical fact, so it was known for many decades to writers and historians of science and astrologers, but nobody had made the connection in showing how this alignment is embedded into the Maya tradition. So that's really where my work has launched off from.
What is the Maya belief of after death? What happens in their culture when someone dies?
Well, I don't know if I'm really qualified to answer that with clarity. My sense is that it would be, well, let me make a stab at this.
Okay.
Anyway. The Maya have a concept of the underworld,
mm-hmm.
and the underworld is where people are born out of, and there's a doorway to the underworld. And what's most interesting about this is that there's an astronomical feature that lies along the Milky Way.
Hmm.
It's a feature caused by interstellar dust, and you can see it with the naked eye. And the Maya call it the Xibalba Bay, the road to the underworld. And it is this place in the sky that the solstice sun is lining up with in 2012. And it's a rebirth place. It's a doorway into the underworld. So to answer your question, the Maya believe that, you know, souls or people come out of the underworld, and when people die, we go back into the underworld, and that is the realm of the departed spirits or the ancestors. So I think of this concept of the underworld is maybe the term underworld, mm-hmm. is not really exactly appropriate, because in our own religion we have this idea of hell or
yes.
something like that. I think of this realm of the uncreated as the place of unmanifest eternity, and souls come out of that and they go back into that. And I think the Maya had a similar concept, and this is where the Maya understanding of human spirituality ties into the great perennial wisdom traditions that you can find around the world.
John, I was wondering if you could tell us about the Maya Conservancy.
Yeah, the Maya Conservancy is a nonprofit that grew out of an idea that I was discussing with several colleagues back a couple of years ago. It had to do with bringing a focus to the site of Izapa, mm-hmm. and also to educate people about the Maya tradition, as well as what the modern Maya today were doing. And the Maya Conservancy finally was, took off and was officially formed as a nonprofit earlier this year, about a year ago. It was really in January of this year when the Maya Conservancy was officially set up. So I'm very proud to be involved in this. I'm an advisor on the board of directors now, and we are sponsoring different educational trips for people to go to Guatemala and Mexico and see the site of Izapa, and also to experience Maya ceremony with
wow.
the traditional Maya spiritual guides, the Aki, or the day keepers, the Maya traditionalists today who go to the shrine sites, the altars at the mm-hmm. various sacred sites, and then people today can go to the places with the Maya and experience what these kinds of ceremonies are about.
John, you and I have to take our final break. Please stand by. Great having you with us, and congratulations on yet another great book. X-Zone Nation, John Major Jenkins is our special guest this hour. Here's two sites. Please go there. Christmas is coming up. Drop a hint or two that you'd like one of John's books for Christmas. The2012story.com and alignment2012.com. John Major Jenkins and I return on the other side of this break. Yeah. As the X-Zone continues from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
To bed.
And welcome back, everyone. John Major Jenkins has been my special guest this hour. John, thanks very much for joining us. Great talking to you. And you and I were talking during the break. You're going to be joining us again in the near future because there's still so much to talk about. But until that time, John, what are some of the new discoveries that are happening pertaining to the Maya?
Well, again, Rob, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, and it's been good talking with you. Some of the new things that are happening right now, it's actually a very exciting time in Maya studies in academia because of this Tortuguero inscription. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a couple of academic papers out on this recently. The scholars are looking at the inscription, and they're deciphering what the inscription says. The monument itself actually has 13 dates on it, including the 2012 date. So what I've been engaged in, along with my friend Michael Grof, who is a Maya scholar, and he deciphers the script, and he's also very interested in astronomy, what we've been able to work out in the last year and a half is the astronomical references in the dates. So you can look up the dates, and then you can look up the astronomy. And what you find is a great vindication of the work that I put on the table many years ago, which involves, you know, the work that shows that the 2012 date was intended to target this rare astronomical alignment. So I was greatly honored to be able to present this material in Chapter 7 of my book, The 2012 Story. That came out a year ago. That's the first place where this information was published. And I also was able to present this information at an academic conference called the Society for American Archaeology Conference in St. Louis in April of this year. So that's really where this discussion is going, and I'm very excited also to be doing a talk at the Institute of Maya Studies on January 19th of next year. So this is breakthrough time. You know, this is like the new information, and it's actually confirming what I was talking about some 15 years ago.
Quickly, John, we're running out of time. Let our listeners know where they can get copies of your books.
Well, you could go to my website, the2012story.com, but it'd probably be best just to go to your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble or Borders or any of those other places that are nearby that can be ordered. And I would guess that a lot of those bookstores will have the paperback in stock.
John, I want to thank you very much for joining us again. I look forward to the next time when you and I meet here in the X Zone.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
Take care of yourself, John. Bye-bye now. X-Zone Nation, John Major Jenkins has been my guest this hour. www.the2012story.com and www.alignment2012.com. Well, that's it for tonight, everyone. I'd like to thank you for sharing your time with us here in the X-Zone, no matter where you are on this great big world of ours, whether you're listening to us on the Talkstar Radio Network, X-Zone Broadcast Network, UK High Definition Radio, Euro High Definition Radio, Star Cable, or X-Zone TV. Until tomorrow night at 10 o'clock when, once again, we cross the time-space continuum to this place that I call the X-Zone. Always, X-Zone Nation, take care of each other. And always remember to keep your eyes to the sky and your heart to the light. Good night, everyone.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.